Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his short series of messages on Psalm 119. Today's sermon is titled, I Believe, Therefore I Speak, and is based on verse 13. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
And I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 119 for our Old Testament reading. Psalm 119. We've been spending a number of weeks working through the second stanza of Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And tonight we come to verse 13. We'll be meditating upon that passage tonight, verse 13, but we'll read verses 9 through 13. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Having heard God's word, what is your response, congregation?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you think about being captured, maybe the first thing that you think of is being a prisoner of war. And being captured in that context would produce misery. And indeed, it is something dreaded by anybody who would be a soldier. To be captured as a prisoner of war. But I ask, is there a capturing which brings delight instead of dread? Is there a capturing which brings delight instead of dread, which brings music instead of misery? And if you were here last Lord's Day, you know there is. There is the capturing of your heart by the God of the Word, which brings music, not misery, which brings delight, not dread. And we sought to answer the question last Lord's Day as we looked at verse 12, Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. We sought to answer the question, what happens? What happens when the God of the Word, the God of all grace, captures your heart personally? What does that look like? What happens? And we saw in verse 12 last week that, first of all, you cannot keep silent. You exclaim, Blessed are you, O Lord. You cannot rest contented. You ask, Teach me your statutes. I want to know more about the God of all grace who has indeed captured my heart. And we learned lastly that you cannot keep it theoretical, that you will take time to be taught and you will make use of the teachers that God has appointed for you, that you might learn God's statutes, indeed that God might engrave them upon your hearts. But tonight we continue to answer the same question in verse 13. What happens when the God of the Word captures your heart? What happens when the God of all grace captures you personally? Well, verse 13 would tell to you and to me that you cannot keep it to yourself. That's what we want to spend some time thinking about tonight, meditating upon, receiving from the Lord tonight. That when the God of the Word captures your heart, you cannot keep it to yourself. You cannot keep it to yourself. Well, why? Well, three reasons that we find in verse 13. The first reason is this, because your lips are connected to your heart. When the God of all grace, the God of the Word, captures your heart personally, you recognize that you cannot keep it to yourself because your lips are connected to your heart. The heart makes itself known by what comes forth from your lips. Jesus says this very specifically in Matthew chapter 12, where he says, For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Jesus connects the lips, the mouth, to the heart. Jesus says this again in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that your lips can't keep silent and you can't keep it to yourself when the God of all grace captures your heart is because your lips are connected to your heart. We recognize this in terms of one who is far from the Lord. We recognize this very clearly in terms of one who is consumed by covetousness, for example. The one who is consumed by covetousness can't stop talking about the great bargain which they are going to find one day. They can't stop talking about the things which they are accumulating. They can't stop talking about the near misses on the stock exchange which they were hoping to profit from. We see this in the sensual man or the sensual woman who can't stop talking about those sensual exploits which are being pursued and which are being found. We see this in the ambitious man's heart as he can't stop talking about the pathway to success. And you even hear him in terms of his speech to others being a people pleaser in order to get ahead. We know that the discontented one speaks what comes forth from the heart, always complaining about wrongs which he or she has experienced or offenses which have been perpetrated against him or her. We know that it is true in more benign ways. We can think, for example, of the music lover who can't stop talking about her favorite band. Knows all of the release dates of every record, every album. I'm dating myself talking about records and albums. Sorry about that. We recognize it in terms of the sports fan. Maybe it's the Yankees fan. You say, oh, no, it's the Yankees. Maybe it's the Red Sox fan. But maybe you can even think back to 1977, and you could even name the starting lineup of the Red Sox in 1977. You can't stop talking about the things which you love, which have captured your heart. The video game junkie, the same thing. The worshiper of drink or drugs. Can't stop talking. You see, the lips are connected to the heart, and we have a window into the heart by the lips. But here in Psalm 119, verses 9 and following, and coming up to verse 13, we're talking about a changed heart. A heart which has been changed by the amazing love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And a changed heart will necessarily change your lips, change what you talk about. Change what is near and dear to you, and it will be heard. A heart which is captured by God's love will speak of God's love. A heart which is captured by God's faithfulness will speak about how great thy faithfulness is. A heart which is captured by God's power and might will love to talk about God's power and might. A heart which is captured by God's wisdom, by God's holiness, by God's goodness will speak of God's amazing, infinite wisdom, His pure holiness and righteousness, and His goodness and His generosity seen in Jesus Christ. A heart, you see, which has been captured by the God of the Word. A heart which has been cleansed by the blood of Christ will have unclean lips cleansed as well as an unclean heart cleansed. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 6. There Isaiah is given the privilege to see the Lord high and lifted up, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, before His incarnation. He hears the voices of the seraphim, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And what's interesting is Isaiah responds to that and says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Interesting that he doesn't say I'm a man of unclean heart, though clearly Isaiah understands his heart needs to be cleansed. But he says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Uncircumcised lips become circumcised by the Lord when he captures your hearts. And the heart of one who has been captured by the God of the Word begins to learn a new language. The language of Zion. The language of Zion is now heard on the lips. We understand that the way in which somebody speaks often identifies where they're from. If somebody speaks with a British accent, we right away have an understanding that they're not from around here, that their home country is heard in the accent. We get that in terms of a southern accent, a southern drawl, speaking about y'all, that the homeland of that person is heard on their lips. We're not that far from Canada, and when we come across ones who routinely use the word we understand that they're probably Canadian. And these things are heard on the lips. Even in Scripture, in the book of Judges, we have during the judgeship of Jephthah, a very important distinction in dialect, such that ones who could say Shibboleth didn't die, and 40,000 who could not pronounce it correctly but said Sibboleth instead of Shibboleth lost their lives. Oh, you see, when the God of all grace, the God of the Word, captures your heart, you cannot keep it to yourself because your lips are connected to the heart. And so you cry out with verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. And so the question is, does your speech betray you in terms of who you are? In terms of whom you belong to? Does your speech betray you when you speak to others, that others know your homeland, whom you belong to, because the God of all grace has captured not just your heart, but also your lips. And so, you cannot keep it to yourself when the God of the Word captures your heart. Secondly, this is true because your lips are now in the service of God. Your lips are now in the service of God. Think with me for a moment what it means to be bought with a price. That you are no longer your own. That in body and spirit you belong in the entirety of your being to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is exempted, and not least your lips and your tongue. You see, if the God of all grace, the God of the Word, has captured your heart, you can't keep it to yourself because your lips are now in the service of God. Now, think of the contrast, which we hear again. We hear it in Psalm 12. In Psalm 12, we have the contrast between the lips of those who will not bow before the Lord, and the lips of those who gladly bow before the Lord. It's there in Psalm 12 and verse 2 that we read, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. That's what we hear on the lips of the one who has had his or her heart captured by the God of the Word. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongues we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? How dare God claim to have lordship, mastery over my lips, but not the one who has tasted of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. The one who has tasted of God's grace in Jesus Christ, captured by his love and his grace, says, my tongue is not my own. It belongs to the Lord. He is the one who is a master. Psalm 50 or Isaiah 59 and verse 21, a part of our call to worship, God gives us a promise. A promise in the everlasting covenant. And did you hear it in our call to worship tonight, where God says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Oh, what a great promise. That his words he puts in our mouths, in the mouths of all those whom he captures by his grace, so that our speech is changed and transformed. Think of Isaiah 51 and verse 15. But I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, you are my people. Isaiah 43 and verse 10, God very specifically says, you are my witnesses. You shall speak of me. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. You see, when God captures your heart, he changes your lips so that you don't testify about your greatness anymore, but you testify about his greatness. You become a witness who gives testimony to him and how great he is. Yes, your lips are now in the service of God if he has indeed captured your heart. Your lips are in the service of God, and you long to know what you should speak. And how will you learn to know what you shall speak? By hiding God's word in your heart. By not remaining silent. Blessed are you, O Lord. By not resting contented. Teach me your statutes. Why? So that I can tell others what great things the Lord has done for me and what great promises he proclaims even to the ends of the earth. Think with me for a moment. There is such a thing as honoring God with the lips, but not with the heart. And that is a sad and sobering thing. It's a description of the hypocrite, right? To honor God with your lips, but not with your heart. But there's no such thing as honoring God with the heart and not with the lips. You see what I'm saying? While it may be true that there are ones who honor God with the lips, but not with the heart, there is never one who honors God with the heart and not with the lips. God connects these together because he brings us body and soul completely into his service. Think about it. The believer united to the Lord Jesus Christ says with the Savior in Psalm 40, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. And so if God, the God of the Word, has captured your heart, by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, utilizing the Word of God, then He has brought your lips as well as your heart into His service. He has bound you with the cords of love. He has captured you. It's a sobering thought to think that we can deny the Lord in more than one way. We can deny the Lord by our works, that is, by our evil works. Titus chapter 1 clearly says that. We can deny the Lord with our words. We see it even in Peter. But we can also deny the Lord with our silence, when we fail to speak up for Him when we should. Ah, but tonight God reminds us that He wants all of you. If He has indeed given you a new heart in Jesus Christ, then He has put a new song upon your lips, because your lips are now in the service of God. And so, what happens when the God of the Word captures your heart? You cannot keep it to yourself. Why? Because your lips are connected to your heart. Because your lips are now in the service of God. And thirdly, because your lips are now in service to your fellow man. Your lips are now in service to your fellow man. Look at the progression from verse 11 to verse 13. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Vertical relationship. Your relationship with the one true and living God. Blessed are you, O Lord. My lips already speaking vertically in praise to God for what He has done. Teach me your statutes, petitioning the Lord vertically that He would indeed instruct me in His ways and carve His law upon my heart. Oh, that I would love your law. But then we come to verse 13 and we move from the vertical to the horizontal. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. You have equipped me to speak. You have enabled me to have your word hidden in my heart that I might be sensitive in terms of my sinning against you. You have opened my lips in praise unto you, O God, and you have taught me your statutes and inscribed them upon my heart that I might now speak to my fellow man, that I might be one who can say, with sincerity, with my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. To whom? To my fellow man. You see, the lips of the one who is captured by God's grace are put in service not just to the Lord, but in service to the Lord unto service to your fellow man. That your words would impart grace to the hearers, and not vitriol and poison. God now has your lips employed in service towards your fellow man. Think of Proverbs 15 and verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. To whom? Not to God. God doesn't need to grow in knowledge. To our fellow man. Think of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him. To whom? To your fellow man. You see, God has not only employed your lips in service to Him, but He has employed your lips in service to your fellow man. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have not just declared them in my heart, but I have spoken them audibly upon my lips. I have spoken them to myself. Think of Psalm 42 and 43. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. Preaching to myself all the judgments of God's mouth. I with my lips, speak to my spouse, speak to my children, speak to my brother, my sister. I speak to my siblings. I speak to my parents. I speak to my grandchildren and my grandparents. With my lips, I speak to my friends, all the judgments of your mouth. I speak to my teammates. I speak to my fellow students. I speak to my coworkers, my neighbors, my professors, my students. I speak in private, one-on-one. I speak in public. Maybe it's in the classroom or at the lunch table or at the party. I speak with my lips in the morning and in the daytime and at night. I speak with my lips on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. I speak with my lips all the judgments of your mouth on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and on the Saturday. I'm resolved that because you have captured my heart and hidden your word in my heart and taught me your statutes, that I will not remain silent. Think of David. David, who had sinned so grievously in his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Psalm 51 is his prayer of confession. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Wash me, purge me, cleanse me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. But we come to verse 15 of Psalm 51, and David there says, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will show forth your praise. What would he speak? Would he not speak of God's amazing forgiveness, of God's abundant pardon, of God's staggering patience, of God's wonderful work of grace in his life? He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness. I deserve to die. There's no sacrifice that is available in the Old Testament to be offered for his sin. He had sinned with a high hand. And God put away his sin, pointing David to his son, his greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was a sacrifice coming. But is that the cry of your heart? O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will show forth your praise, that you have shown such mercy to such a miserable sinner as me, and you have given me new life instead of death. And that I cannot keep silent, and that my fellow man needs to hear of all of God's judgments. I have declared all your judgments. It's literally, I have recounted. And it's the idea of counting one by one, but counting out loud. You know, when you're young, 3 years old, 4 years old, you start to learn how to count. One, two, three, four, and you know, and the precocious three-year-old comes up to anybody and says, I can count to 20. And you listen to him. One, two, three. Well, that's the idea here. That's the idea in verse 13. With my lips, I have recounted all the judgments of your mouth. Being a scribe with my lips, dictating a book, dictating the book to others regarding the decisions, the judgments which God has set down for me and you. Here, the idea of judgments isn't so much condemnation as decisions of the mighty judge, the legislator, the executive sovereign. And where do we find the judgments of the Lord, his decisions? In his word. In his holy word, God has made the decision to create. He has made the decision to permit sin, to pronounce judgment on sin, to promise a deliverer, to pick a people, to protect a people, to prosper a people, to preserve a people, to secure his glory above all things. And so I have recounted all the decisions which God has set down for us regarding history, regarding the rise and fall of nations and leaders, regarding mathematics and science, regarding politics and social justice and contemporary issues such as abortion or homosexuality or gender confusion or marriage or just war or education or even the weather. God has set down in His holy word His judgments, and I will recount all of them to all who will listen to me. I will be a ready witness on behalf of my God. God has spoken, and it has come to pass. And so God, as He captures your heart through Jesus Christ, He also transforms your lips. You speak with a new accent because your lips are no longer your own, but they are connected to your heart, and they are now employed in service to God and in service to your fellow man. Oh, will you look for opportunities to speak? You know, I think of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's much more than a mere example, but He also is an example to us. You know what I'm saying? He's much more than an example, that He does things which we can't do. But He also shows us the way in which to walk. Think of Jesus in John chapter 4. He's traveling from Judea up to Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria, and He's tired. He's weary because He's true man. He's taken a true human nature unto Himself as the God-man. And He's tired, and He sits down at the well, and here is this woman who comes out to the well to draw water. And He could have said, you know, I'm just too tired. But He takes the occasion to speak for her ultimate benefit. Think of Jesus in John chapter 7. The Feast of Tabernacles is coming. He's in Galilee, and his half-brothers begin to kind of prod him and poke him and say, are you going up to the feast? And they don't have any good intention in that question at all. They're jabbing him and prodding him and making fun of him, scorning him, really. But He doesn't then just go retreat and hide in a corner. He speaks to them. He speaks to them the truth. He testifies. He opens His mouth. And He says, my hour is not yet come, but your hour is always here. He speaks the truth to them. Think of Jesus telling parables. He's telling parables, and He's using common, everyday things which we all are confronted with. He has His eyes opened and His ears peaked in terms of how can the handiwork of God, which I see with my eyes and hear with my ears all around me, be brought into the service of speaking on behalf of my God? And so He tells the parable of the sower. He tells the parable of the wheat and the tares. He tells the parable of the dragnet. He tells the parable of the merchants finding the pearl of great price, right? These are all images which we can latch onto. And again, will I open up my eyes? Will I look around and I see the growing grass and remember that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever? Do I think that every time I mow my lawn and maybe I talk to my neighbor as I'm emptying the grass clippings and say, you know, the grass one day is going to wither all away. The flower's always fading. Just look at my garden. Flowers which were beautiful 3 days ago, they're all gone. But I have learned that there's something which is lasting. The word of our God shall stand forever. And that gives me great courage and hope. And I'm thankful to my God that He has shown me such truths, right? Are we looking for opportunities to speak? One of the easiest ways to talk to others about the Lord is to talk about the weather. Most people, what do? They complain about the weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. And it seems like that's like the new national pastime. That's all we talk about. How bad the weather is. And it's like, okay, maybe the weather is bad. But who's in control of the weather? Oh, man is. Global warming. That's not what the Bible says. It says God is in control of the weather. And if there's bad weather, maybe it's a wake-up call to us all to consider that he's knocking at the door. And instead of complaining about the weather and joining in the complaining about the weather with other people, it's an opportunity to say, you know, God sends the rain, he sends the snow, he sends the warm weather, he sends the drought, and he sends the flood. All to make us humbly recognize that this world is his, right? We need to then take these sorts of opportunities to speak with our mouths, to be, as it were, that our life and our lips are a living book recounting the divine decisions which he indeed is manifesting through his special providence in our day at these times. And that's why Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. And again, we may be tempted to shy away from speaking. We may be tempted to keep silent. But did you hear our New Testament reading? Now, I know that not any one of us here are apostles. We're not Peter and John. But did you hear what they said? Whether it's right to obey you rather than God, we'll let you judge that. But as for speaking, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't remain silent. I believe, therefore I speak. And that's what Psalm 119 verse 13 is all about. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all your judgments. And as we come to a close tonight, and as we come to the table tonight, we realize that Jesus always had a word in season. Or did he? There came a point in time when he opened not his mouth. And he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And he opened not his mouth so that your mouth might be opened. Do you see it? His mouth remained closed in his determination to lay down his life for all of our sins. Sins of the heart, sins of the tongue. He opened not his mouth, but was like a lamb brought to the slaughter, so that our mouths might be opened wide to speak. Yes, there is such a thing as being captured, which doesn't bring misery, and neither does it bring dread, but rather it brings music and delight. It's when the God of the Word, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, captures your heart and loosens your tongue. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word which you have given to us tonight and even this day. We pray that we would go through the upcoming 6 days and that we would remember. We would remember what you have spoken to us today. And that as you have spoken to us, may that be indeed not just food for our souls. Oh, may it be that, Lord. But may it also enable us to speak for you and to speak to our fellow man. We confess that we are often slow to speak up for you. Forgive us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who truly did not open your mouth, but submitted yourself unto death, even the death of the cross for us. And yet even on the cross, you did not remain silent, but you cried out, "It is finished." Oh, may that cheer our hearts tonight as we find that your love has captured us. Work in us, we pray. Work in our children and in our grandchildren. Help us, O Lord, to pursue after those who have wandered astray and to speak words of life. Oh, use us, and may we not be afraid to be used by you. Please, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. Here you will find information about our church, our statement of faith, upcoming events, and much more. Here also you will find our sermons page with most of our Lord's Day sermons dating back over 7 years, as well as a radio section containing all of the WDER programs. All of these are available for download where a free CD may be requested. We'd like to hear from you if you've been blessed by our program. Give us a call or drop us an email simply to let us know you're listening. Our contact info can be found on our website. We are always encouraged to hear from our listeners, or better yet, come and join us for our worship service. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. At both services, we sing praises to our God and hear the Word of God proclaimed. For we believe that the Word of God renews the Christian's mind, enabling us to grow in love and service to the Lord and to one another. We also believe that the first day of the week, the day our Savior rose again from the dead, is the Lord's Day, a day to seek the Lord and find our pleasure in Him. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."